Hi, welcome back to the Parsha Shir. Again, this is Benny Marilis. I wanted to take the opportunity just at the outset to thank everybody who shared some constructive criticism, some comments, some material, some encouragement for last week's Shir, and encourage you all to participate in the same way this week by listening, by sharing material with me, by commenting, by conversing with me on all that is discussed in the Shir. That's BennyMarylis@gmail.com, BennyMarylis at gmail.com. I hope you enjoy this week's Shir. Look forward to speaking with you again soon. Have a great day.
Okay, Parshat Vayera, Parshas here in Cheshvanim. I wanted to tell you that at the outset, you should know that I did get feedback from people. Someone sent me sources for tonight's Shir. Someone sent me sources for next year's Lech Lecha Shir. And then I got constructive criticism from some people that I was talking too fast and I was reading too fast and that I didn't explain who the different people were, whose sources I quoted, and that I didn't put lines on some of the on some of the pages so people couldn't follow. So I did my best to correct as many of those things as possible tonight, not all of them. It's a work in progress. Let's just say that.
You should mention Shin Nun Tet.
Nun? Isn't still Ayin Tet?
Ayin Tet.
I'm just making sure. Okay, so yeah, Vayera Tav Shin Ayin Tet, 5779. Okay, so here we go. So tonight we're mostly going to focus on the concept of Nisayon. What that?
Year of the horse.
Yeah, what that means, and but not at the beginning. But we're going to spend some time on the concept of Nisayon and see how well we do. Just sort of keep an eye on the clock, all right? It's okay. Here we go. So on the bottom of the page, the first source we're going to deal with tonight is from the Sefer Kol Shemen HaTov. Shemen HaTov is a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, also known as Rabbi Mickey Weinberger. He was the Rebbe in Gisel of Brooklyn for more than half a century. An amazing, amazing man, and he wrote an incredibly beautiful set of works called the Shemen HaTov. I think it's five volumes. I had two. Now I only have one. And this is one piece that he has on Parshas Vayera on the bottom of the page. And it's dealing with the story of Lot. And Lot as a character is incredibly interesting to me as in terms of studying Tanakh. And he's clearly not a major player in Tanakh. He's not a major actor. At best, he's a supporting actor, even a minor player. Yet, his impact is tremendous on history, and yet he's really not quote-unquote important in any way, shape, or form, but he has massive impact. His own personal story, and certainly the story of his children, his daughters, that is an incredibly impactful story for us, L'dori Doros, forever. And so he's worth studying at greater length. We can't do that tonight. But tonight, we just want to deal with one particular aspect here at the bottom. So the pasuk tells us that that God remembers Avram, and then by extension, He remembers Lot, right? Vayizkor Elohim et Avram, vayishlach et Lot mitocha hafecha, b'hafechat harim asher yeshav behem Lot. Excuse me. So God remembers Avram, and because He remembers Avram, He saves Lot. Right. So what is that? How does that work? So Rashi explains. He quotes. First line there, Mahu zechira social Avraham alot. What does that mean? What is that he remembers Avraham on with respect to Lot? Niska shahaya Lot yodea. Lot knew shesara ish social Avraham. In Mitzrayim, Lot knew the ins and outs of that story, and he knew that Sarah was Avraham's wife. Vishama shamar Avraham b'Mitzrayim achosihi, and he was there, and he heard Avraham say that she is my sister. Vilogila hadavar. He didn't say a word. He didn't let it be known. He kept it secret. Right? Hayachasalav. He took care of Avram in that moment. It's the next page on the top there. You have it? Yes? Okay, good. Lefikach, therefore, chasa kadosh baruch hu alav. Therefore, God took care of Lot. So, as a merit, right? Yeah, as a merit for what Lot did, God saves him in this moment. Okay? So he says, "V'ayin masha kastati bechelik beis b'shem ha'Rav Cutler." Alza, fine, you can look there. Aval, stack in the middle of the second line, but pashtut kashe. Lama ne'mar v'yizkar Elohim et Avraham v'lo ne'mar yeshir v'yizkar Lot. It's just to say, God remembered what Lot did and He saved him. V'huchrach Rashi lefer is zichirato shel Avraham alot. Right, like It's a simple question. It's an oddity in the Pasuk. Lot has a merit. If that's his merit, and that's a big merit, fantastic. Save him because of that one thing. And that's clearly not the case. God saves him because of Avraham, not because of Lot. Ubi Igra Dekala, the savior Igra Dekala is a savior by the name by a rav named Tzvi Elimelech Midinov, who's a Hasidish rav in the 19th century Poland. He says, the Zechiraso shel Avraham hu, mishum, the ilu ne'avad Lot, had Lot been lost, haya Avraham chola machalas halev al Lot. That had Lot been killed, Avraham would have suffered for the loss of Lot, personally. Valkein zacharas Avraham. So God remembered the possibility that he would cause suffering to Avraham, and therefore he saved Lot. Interesting. Udvarav inam matimim in Perash Rashi. It doesn't work with Rashi. It doesn't work with Rashi. It doesn't fit with Rashi. Rashi is saying that he remembers Avraham, and therefore because of Avraham, because of Lot staying quiet, that's why. But here he says no, because Avraham would have suffered, so that's why he saves Lot. Okay. Ulai yesh lamar. So he says as follows. Dine Avraham amad litpalel al Sodom. So Avram David for Sodom from 50 until 10. Perish Rashi of Alapachas Miasar Lo Ispala. He didn't pray for less than 10. Lo Rainu De Noach Ubanav Unishav Hayu Pachos Miyud Velo Hatzilu Es Doram. They were less than 10. Do the math, and God didn't save the generation. Al Kain Loid Pale Alapachas Miasar. Therefore, Avram didn't pray for less than 10. Right? Okay. Less than 10 doesn't save a generation. Aval, a dying kasha. Still difficult. To after Noah who mishpachta lo hitzilu es doram. Yes, they didn't save the generation of a mikom makom heim ba'atzvam nitzolu. They themselves were saved. So in Cain, kasha, delama lo hispala shalachol apachos, yinatzulot mishpachta. He should have at least prayed that Lot would be saved. So fine. So I can't save everybody in the city. I can't save all the cities. Avram should think, okay, but I know who's there. I know Lot is there. And at no point in that entire tefillah does he say, you know what, God, do me a favor. Lot is there. He left and he moved there. Save Lot. She says the following. Umuchrach. Tihishlim Avram emidas hadin de za'akas dom ola ad shakulim chayavin. Uke'ein yirnidachas. Must be that Avraham somehow was okay or complete with the idea, shalem with the idea that Sodom needed to be destroyed in its entirety. And that meant also Lot. Vilachain, therefore, Shasak, who? Falois palalayan. And so he didn't pray for them. He accepted God's will and God's judgment on the situation, and he sort of moved on. Vizehu, and this, he says, the Shemin HaTov, Dezachar Elohim Shtikas Avraham. This is the shtika that that Hashem remembers. What does it mean? Vayizkor es Avram remembers that Avram was silent. Va'ayideh shtikaso, and because of his silence, zachar shtikas lot gamkein dechas al Avram. So silence begets silence. Avram's silence, amazingly, or his lack of action, his quiet in this moment, reminds God of some other quiet that happened with respect to Lot. And therefore he saves him. Al Kain, in Kain, kedai hu liot nitzol. So somehow, Avram's lack of action in this situation, his ceasing to act, is what saves Lot. Interesting. It's an interesting idea. I thought it was interesting. I thought I would share it. You don't have to love it. I thought it was an interesting approach. It's a different aspect. The idea on that Avram is shalem with what happens to Sodom is interesting. I don't know how I feel about that in terms of that Avram is okay with what happens.
He wasn't shalem. He was shalem at once.
Yes.
He realized that there was not even 10 tzaddikim.
Right.
It's an interesting idea, but Lot was doing Avram a favor by keeping quiet. Avram's not doing Lot a favor here.
It's
by
true.
Keeping quiet.
I admit that's a whole.
He is accepting the fact that
Lot's
Lot
going to die.
Going to perish with these Lot, people. It was
yes, Avraham. And his So it seems to be his willingness to accept that that's the judgment somehow triggers for God the idea to save Lot in the end. Which also means that Lot's act in and of itself, by and for itself, was not enough to trigger God. It required Avraham to not do something or to stop doing something to have that happen. And for all of Lot's goodness in that moment in Mitzrayim, or the fact that he had guests at his house, or whatever, right, which he seemed to have learned from Avraham, was not significant enough for him to warrant being saved. And this, according to this explanation, is what somehow saves Lot. Again, I share it with you. I thought it was interesting. Okay, moving right along. Next page, to the Malbim. So the Malbim, who we quoted last week, you'll get two Malbims this week for your double your pleasure. The Malbim is, as I told you last week, my favorite. Mir Leibish ben Yechiel Mechel. Is a great, there's no other way to say it. His commentary on Tanakh is pure gold. His drashot are pure gold. There's no way else around it. The style, the structure around, I'm obviously biased as I love it, but the question-answer style, the probing, the interest, and the ability to bring in and weave and create is really, really interesting. And here, he has a very, I think, a very interesting insight about the story of Avraham with Avimelech. So we know this story. This story is similar to the Mitzrayim story. And as you see it on page, it says page 2 on the top, but okay. It's actually, I think, technically page 3, but whatever. They're there. Sarah gets taken again by Avimelech. This time God appears to Avimelech. He tells him what's going on. He sets him free. He sets her free. And then Avram and Avimelech have this interesting little conversation, right? In Pasuk Yud, Avimelech says to Avram, "What did you see? You know, I'm going to let you go. But what did you see here that warranted you to say what you said? Look around. No one did anything wrong. No one hurt anybody. No one tried to kill anyone. We're pretty good people here. What did you see that warranted you to act the way you did by saying this whole story about Achosi?" And Avram says very famously, "Vayomer Avram, ki amarti rak ein yirat Elohim b'makom hazeh." There's no fear of God in this place. Okay, what does that mean exactly? So the Malbim explains in the second paragraph, starting on line 10. Now you see the line numbers come in handy. Line 10. Okay. This is what he says. Hodialo, he tells him at the end of the first line, Shagam im nira ish, if I see a person, O'am, or a group of people, Shu pilasof gadol, is deeply philosophical. V'chakaklo nimusim yesharim, and he's developed for himself honest and good manners. And he builds this entire repertoire of good behavior and morality based on his own intellect. All of that is, again, built on his amazing intellectual capacities and ability to work on himself. Nonetheless, you cannot rely on them. You cannot rely on that kind of a person. Shebe'ez tisiteyu ta'avaso la'asos ra, shetamid yigbar sichlo al tavaso. The idea that when something bad happens, that his intellect is going to overrule his physical desires and wants and needs. Ki behefech, ez tiva erbo ez tavaso, al ez yeshchein, al alhon re'ehu, be'ein ro'eh, as sichlo yelech sholo lirtsoach v'lin of la'asos kora. His intellect will not win. The physical desire, his interest in doing some harm to somebody else will overcome and overwhelm his personal own intellect. Rak koach, this is the end of line 14. Rak koach echad nimtza benefesh ha'adam asher bo nuchal liftoach shelo nechta. There's only one force that exists in the soul of a person that can secure that he's not going to sin. V'hi midas hayira. That is fear. Or awe, however you want to call it, hashetula banefes, that is planted in his soul. Ad shemimena yistaef seif echad, is going to branch out into its entirety. Shehi yiras Elohim, that's going to ultimately blossom into the fear of God. Ad tiet timalei hanefesh miyirat Elohim hamashkif anigleu v'nistarav hatzopeh hatzofel koma asaf. Till it goes and it draws and it grows and it grows and it grows. Until it's in charge and it's monitoring and taking control of that which he has inside, which is just thinking, and that which he does outside. We don't know what people think, we know what they do. So yira can happen and manifest itself with respect to one's actions outside, but not necessarily on the internals. But here he says, Oz, at the end of line 16, Gam eis yigvar alav yitzro, when that happens and his yitzer gets a hold of him, Yiravi Yivosh Mi Hamelech HaGadol Horez Kol Masav Yizahir Mi Asos Ra. That person, because they have developed this fear, right, this awe, this yira, then they won't do what they're inclined to do badly. And then he says, he explains it also in another sefer of his, the end of line 18. This is what Avram says. Your people are beautiful, wonderful. I saw nothing wrong with them. One problem, beginning of line 20. They don't have that. And because they don't have that, in his mind, they don't have anything.
That's the rock.
And because they don't have any, they don't have that, and they don't have anything, he can't trust them for anything. And so, even in the situation where, yeah, normally he might have been able to say, you know what, in this case, Sarah's safe, totally safe. But he says, you know what, if their moral structure and their value system is based on their own intellect, then they will intellectualize and moralize anything that they want when they need to and when they want to. And that is not something that Avram can handle nor accept. And therefore, he goes through subterfuge and he does this whole thing, which is an incredible indictment on Avimelech. It's an indictment on the entirety of society that's around him. And again, these are good people, right? Avram has seen bad people. He's now seeing fairly good people too. Parenthetically, Avimelech did take his wife, but okay, right? Because he thought she was the sister. They did do that. But once you don't have, as you said, the tzur, the rock, the base, the however you want to call that nexus point that holds it all together, which is Yiras Hashem, you have nothing.
Actually, I was referring to the word rock. Rock.
Okay. A key word. Yeah. And he says, I can't trust you. And so he doesn't. And that's how it ends. Right? That's the idea. And so I don't have the faith, and therefore I have to walk away. So that fundamental thing goes back to the principle we established last week, that Avram is trying to strive and build this unbelievable vision of what God is, that Yirat Elokim is unique to him and his people. That is not everybody else. No one else has that. And until you have that, you have nothing. And so, right, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, Yira has to come first. That's that idea. Okay. That's Malam number one. Go up to the next page. This is page number five in the booklet. This is from a typical Torah Shimon. Torah Shimon is... You can, when you're giving the shir, you can be a little bit nepotistic and bring family divrei Torah. So the top of page, but we're going to do the palm on the bottom of page five. This is the seder of divrei Torah from Rabbi Shimon ben Yaroslav. Shimon ben Yaroslav was the first Maralis. He was a Hasidic Rav more than 150 years ago in Poland, and he was the Talmud of Rabbi Elimelech, and then a close Talmud of the Chozeh. He was a cousin of the Chose of Lublin, and then the Talmud of the Chose. And in Hasidic circles, Rabbi Shimon Yaroslav is known as well. There's a lot of stories about him. Fascinating person. And he is the first in our line known as Maralis. And so when I have occasion to quote his Torah, I get a chance to quote his Torah. Another member of the family wrote up his Divrei Torah and wrote up some of the Sipurim about him, both in English and in Hebrew. And as I share with one with you now... because it, with respect to the Akedah and the Nisayon of Avraham, it raises a different approach in the Medrash that we know very, very well. I mean, it's a little bit long, I admit it, but we're going to start on the top of the next page, top of page number six, effectively, which would be the second side of this. Okay, so again, we're talking here in the Nisayon. If you remember well, for the different Midrashim, that the Satan appears to Avraham in all kinds of guises, to try to stop him from going to Akedas Yitzchak, because the Satan knows that Akedas Yitzchak is this massively important, incredibly valuable thing that Avram is going to do. And whatever he can stop him, he's going to try to stop him. So listen to the way that he brings it here. And he says, at the end of the third line on what's page Yud Bet, it says, V'kasher, right? Okay? You see it? Okay. So until this point, the Satan has tried to do all kinds of things to stop Avram, and he's been unsuccessful. So he realized, he saw all of his efforts and all of his work to try to stop him. It didn't help. Maybe this way he's going to stop him. He appeared to him as a holy man. Holech Kenegdo is walking towards him. V'nosin lo shalom baderech ahava kera'uy v'nachon. And he treats him with great respect and great deference and great love. So it's, you know, someone Avram would be happy to see along the road. V'shoel oso. Lehechan mar holech? Where are you going? V'haya meshiv ani holech lasos ritzon bor'i. Right? It sounds a little far-fetched that he would say that out loud, but this is...
What did he say? It wasn't...
He says, I'm going to do the Ratzon Hashem, the will of God, which is to go in to shecht my son on the mountain, right? Which, when you say that out loud, it's hard to say it loud, but if you're Avraham, and this is Ratzon Hashem, and you're proud to do Ratzon Hashem. Okay. Vayam Eishivla. Ashrecha Avraham, shata holech lasos Ratzon konecha. Beautiful, praiseworthy are you. Befrat, bedavar, gadol, kazeh, lich, bishalom, go in peace. Ulam, however, saper nali yididi, tell me, minayin ata yodea shecheinu ratzon kadosh baruch hu lishkot et bincha. How do you know that this is what God wants from you? Vayameshiv lo Avram, he would say to him, ani ba'atmi, shematmi pir kadosh baruch hu, kach nas bich et bincha. He told me, God told me to go. So Az Amar Loha Ishana Lashrecha. Right? He's like, you know, rubbing his chin, and he's got the beard, and he's like, wow, amazing. God spoke to you, right? Ashrecha. Bivadai Zachisa Ledavar Godl. You have merited something amazing. For Lav Kol Adam Zocha Lishmoa Devar Mipia Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo. Not everybody gets to hear directly from God. Im Kol Zeh Gamani lo echdal milegalot lecha ma sheshamati vekabalti mirabosai. I want you to just also know one thing that I heard from my Rebbe. Shelav kol adam zocha lishmoa diberimi pir kadosh baruch hu abatzmo. Vafilu shomea. Even if you do, al yismoch al zekla. Don't rely on it. Ki ulayu chas v'shalme ezit tzad acher. Maybe it wasn't God. There was some other voice that you heard in your head. Rakmishu yodea ba'atmo shekvar kitiken kol chatosav ubefrat hachatos nu'urim. The only person who really hears God talking to them is someone who's done real tshuva and full tshuva and has repented from all of the sins of their youth. Ve'ein bo shum chet v'avon klal kimo malach. He's like a malach. Azai hu batuach shekvod Hashem diber ito be'emet. That person can be sure that God spoke to them. Ulam, mishehu adayin misupak, in kvartikein chataos ne'ura b'chol mikol kol, as someone who's not sure if he's done full tshuva for all of the different bad things he's done when he was a young person, azay chalila lo lahabit al dibur kazeh kanal, you should not take that for what it was. Asher akein dok atha be'atzmacha mehechan haya hadibur. You should really look again. Maybe that wasn't God.
Is this based on a medrash?
It is based on a medrash. It was based on the Medrash. I don't remember where he quotes the Medrash as a source, but based on the Medrash. So, what does he say to Avram? Check yourself at the door, Avram. You're not perfect. Remember when you were younger, before you believed in God, you have a past. And so, a person with a past who hasn't repented fully for their past, it's the way God's talking to them. Right? It's an interesting approach. There's nothing left to stop Avram. Everything else has not worked. But now he's attacking him from a different angle, which is a logical angle, and from an angle of pain, perhaps, for Avram, which is that he wasn't, you know...
You can't escape your past.
Yeah, he's not a Yelid Mibetan. He doesn't have emunah from birth, right? He developed it over time. So keep reading with me. V'kashyeh shema Avram Avinu amad becherda gedola. He trembled. Ki legodol avonosot anvesanuso v'shifluso. Right? His great humility, right? And his sort of the way he looked at himself as sort of low. Chashash l'dvarav, kederach atzadikim. He listened. He took it to heart. Ubazo hatachbula kimate pilu migodel hasimcha v'hislavu shayaloas. And it almost took him down from the height of happiness and energy and joy that he had from this opportunity. So, what do you think Avram is going to say to himself, right before giving it away? What do you think? What could be Avram's response here?
Maybe.
Maybe
he's right.
Maybe he's right. Or maybe he could say, no, what are you talking about? I took care of that business from my past already. I'm over that. That's over. You don't have that on me anymore, right? There's two ways to sort of think about it. Look what he says. He strengthens himself. Nothing should stop me from my service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have not yet done tshuva for those things, and yet that should not stop me from going to fulfill my destiny here with Akedas Yitzhak. This is what Avram says, the pasuk. Avram says to his na'arim, here's a little Hasidic Torah for you. Hainu she'amar lechatos ni'urim shelo. He said to his na'arus, his younger self, shulachem po machamor. Stay here with the animal. What does that mean? Imachumrios shelo. Yeah. Stay here with all that stuff. That's here. It's still here. It's not gone. It's still here. Vaniva anar, hainu ani im bini Yitzchak, ne'ocha ad ko b'nishtachavim v'nashuv alechem. We're going to go and we're going to come back. Ani mavtiach lachem, I promise you, shavo sham l'madriga ha'gedola, l'ishtachavos ba'achna ha'gedola, I'm going to go there, I'm going to do my destiny, and fulfill my responsibility there, on Har HaBayit, on Har HaMoria, with Akedas Yitzchak, and then I'll be able to come back, and I will come back. I'm going to come back to those things as well. Nothing's going to stop me. And he went and he did it. And what he points out here, this is the author of the Sefer who writes up the Torah. He says, very often is the case that the Yetzirah stops us with good logic, and often it is based on the idea that we're not good enough. You're not good enough to warrant doing that mitzvah, to have the opportunity to do certain things, and so you don't. You believe it. You stop. You hold back. The answer is no. You're right. I have chisronos. I have failings. I made mistakes in the past. But this is before me, and this is part of Avodas Hashem. And as part of my Avodas Hashem, I have to go and do this. And then I'll deal with that after, not before. Because if you have to deal with it before, and if you go and deal with it before, that's not coming back. Akedas Yitzchak has an opportunity. Doesn't Avram turn and walks away from it? He stops because of this approach? It never happens. Akedas Yitzchak doesn't happen. So Avram acknowledges it, he accepts it, and he does it anyway, and he goes forward with Akedas Yitzchak. And then he goes back and he deals with it afterward, right? And so I thought that was a very interesting approach to it. I thought it was a very powerful, meaningful lesson for us as people about the idea of in our Avodas Hashem. That yes, we have our chisronos, we have our chatos nu'urim, and we have whatever it is. But at the same time, we have to plug ahead forward, and we have to do things, and we have to try to be successful. We have to try new things, and we have to try to sort of continue forward in our avodah and our emunah going forward. Good? Okay. We'll sneak in one more piece here we'll do the Malbim here again. I apologize, we won't get to the rest of it. What can you do? We'll save it for another year. But we'll just do the Malbim in the interest of time.
April.
We'll do the Malbim. This is on page 3. It says on page 3, yeah, this is the Malbim again. You're a double dip with the Malbim tonight. So here, this is a very powerful Malbim at the end of the Akedah. The concept of Nisayon we'll have to get to another time. There's a beautiful Netziv on Nisayon. There's a beautiful Ramban on Nisayon that's in here. There's a whole set of Nisiva Shalom from the Slonimer in Parshas Vayera on the concept of Nisayon, Nisyonos, Asaru Nisyonos, Nisasa Avraham, Avraham, 10 tests, what those mean, and what's the uniqueness of the last one, and why Dafka, the last one, and what happens in the last one to Avraham that makes it such a big deal. They're all incredibly powerful, beautiful pieces that I encourage you to read in the source sheet. But just in the interest, because I put this in this order, here's the Malbim. So this is the Malbim at the end of the Akedah. This took place at the end, after Avram takes him up, Avram puts him on the Mizbeach, Avram ties him down, Avram takes the knife, he's about to slaughter his son, and the Malach comes and tries to stop him. Yeah? We know that part of the story. Okay, for sure. Okay, look at me on line number 10. Okay? It's marked off, underlined. Here's a fascinating insight into Akedah Yitzchak, which I think goes to what I always say about the Malbim, that is the beauty of the parish of the Malbim. Amnam. Midivrei Chazal, Nira. She'Avraham lo horid et Yitzchak min ha-Mizbeach tekef. That Yitzchak does not come off of the Mizbeach right away. Avram does not let him off the Mizbeach immediately. Okay? So you can imagine the scene. Avram is stopped from doing the Akedah. Yitzhak is still on the Mizbeach. The Malach Hashem is talking to him. The knife is still in his hand. Yes? Good. This conversation is happening then. Kamosha Kasuba Psikta Huva Bayalkut. This is quoted in the Medrash, end of line 11. Avram Amar La Malach. Mi Ata? Who are you? Amar Leh, beginning of line 12. Malach. I'm an angel. Amar Leh, he says back to him. Avram speaking to the angel. Kisha Amar Li HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Shachto Be'atzmo Amar Li. When God commanded me to slaughter my son, God told me himself to do it. Ve'achshav ani mevakesh shehu yomar li. And now I'm requesting that God be the one to tell me to not do it. Don't give me a malach, give me God. Miyad pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sarakia v'amar binishbati. Immediately God opens up the heavens and says, binishbati, right? Swear it, sworn with me not to do this. Ritzon olamar. Shekol davar sheshama hanavi mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. Anything a navi hears from God directly, ein lo lishmoa, he should not listen, kishiyomar lo navi shenitzdave behefech. When a navi comes along and tells you the opposite, don't listen to him, ad sheyishma mipi Hashem ba'atzmo. Until you hear it from God directly. Meaning, if you have a clash of prophets, right, and one says he heard it from God, he should not listen to the other one until he hears it from God directly, not from the other prophet. He brings an example from Sefer Malachim, from the Navi of Beit El in the story of Yeravam. Don't worry about that. Skip to line, middle of line 16, where it says, V'chein. You got it? V'chein Amar, middle of line 16. V'chein Avram, sheshamami pi Hashem ba'atzmo, she'aleu li'ola. And so too, Avram heard from God. Take him up there to be an Ola. Lo ratzo lahorido ad sheyishma min Hashem ba'atzmo. And he wouldn't take him down until he heard it from God. So in that pause, you have Yitzhak lying on the Mizbeach still. He's tied down. You have Avram standing there. You have the Malach. V'alkein himtin al dibur Hashem below ridom in the Mizbeach. Right? So he waited until God spoke to him. Bini of line 18. V'kashira a'es ha'ayil. And so when Avram saw the ayil, lakach oso v'hikrivo tachas bino. And then he slaughtered it, right? Tachas b'no. What does tachas b'no mean?
Under.
Right? We usually mean it means instead of, right? Bimkom, in place of. Yitzhak comes down, the animal goes up, he slaughters the animal, right? No. Tachas here means below his son. What does that mean? Ritzon olamar. Middle of line 18. Shebino lo yorad min hamizbeach. Vayamunach bimekomo. Yitzhak is still on the Mizbeach. Rak Avram hikrives ha'ayel lemata. Avram brings the ayel below Yitzhak. If you want to look at it a certain way, a second Mizbeach, or a second tier on the same Mizbeach, or even if you want, next to him. Okay? Yes, he's coming in his stead, but the animal is literally lying in his place. Okay? You with me? Middle of line 19. Umilas tachas, the word tachas in the pasuk, yishamesh gamkein al hamakom, on the place itself. Kimo vayish anu tachas ha'etz. They sat not right, instead of the tree, they sat below the tree, right? Or at the base of the tree. It's marking a location. V'kara Hashem hamakom Hashem yiro'eh. God will show. What does that mean? Here's the amazing part. Ritzon olamar.
Where are these two psukim from that you just read them?
These are from the ends of the psukim on the top that I quote, psukim Yud Gimel Yud Dalet. On the top of the page I have the psukim here.
Okay.
Okay. You see them?
All part of the same
story. Yeah, it's all the same story, right? It's all that same place, right? Okay. If you look in Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'yisa Avram et Einav, Avram looks at his eyes, V'yavri ne'ayel achar, ne'achaz b'svach b'karnav, right up here, just looking at the psukim, right? To the top of the page, line 4. Avram sees the other animal, under, or tachas bino, whatever that word means, right? And then the next pasuk, he calls it a place. Okay, now, what does that mean? So he says as follows, Ritzon olamar, Hashem be'atzmo yivchar, God should choose, mi yihyeh hakorban ha'ikari, God choose. You choose. I want to do your Ratzon, says Avraham. Your Ratzon was to bring Yitzchak. And now something else or someone else is telling me to do something else? You choose. Im b'ni shehu al mizbeach lemala, im ha'ayil ha'karev lemata. Right? The pasuk says, Hashem yireah. God will show me or show us who is the korban. V'hosif asher yomar b'hayom b'har Hashem yireah. On that place, on that day, on that place, God will show. Shemizeh nishar shem ha'makom ad hayom. That place has the same name till this day. Shesham yireah Hashem b'atzav beis ha'bechira. God himself shows himself in that place through the Beis HaMikdash, lo yedei malach v'shaliach, rak b'chvodo uva'atzmo. Only himself, by himself. So you can imagine that. Avraham is still willing to do the shechita, and he's saying to God, you have to tell me how this plays out. And you, God, have to show yourself now here to show it to me, otherwise I'm not buying it, and I'm going through with it. And then doing that, Avraham makes an incredible decision by putting his son on the Mizbeach with the animal lying next to each other. How powerful that scene must have been. And then at the same time, forcing on some level God to come down to speak to him directly, implants and imprints on that location forever that is not a place of a malach. That is not a place of anything else. That is a place where God and man meet. No intermediaries. Nothing in the middle. Because of what happened to the Kedis Yitzhak. And so every time you bring a korban, it reminds God of a Kedis Yitzhak. Because you're Avraham in that moment. The korban is Yitzhak kiviyachol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't send the malach. Because Avraham tied HaKadosh Baruch Hu to that location. And so it explodes the massive impact and value that Har HaBayit has for us, why it's so meaningful from the beginning as a location, and so because Avraham ties God, Kiviyachol ties God to the Mizbeach on Har HaBayit.
But where does it say explicitly that Hashem spoke to Avraham and said, don't sacrifice?
So he says, when the Pasuk says, Bini Shbati, I don't know where I have it here. Maybe it's right. Yeah.
Hashem takes over the speaking at that point.
Yeah, God starts
to speak. Right. It's not a malach saying, I'm going to bless you. It's
right.
Hashem saying, I'm going to bless
Hashem
you.
Says, when Hashem sees that Avraham was willing to go through it.
He's still going through with it. Yeah.
He takes over. He slips in there. It says.
Yeah. And that's what's going on here.
Beautiful idea.
We don't get to the other ones
there
tonight. But,
why don't you put it on there and I'll pick it up. Put it on and I'll listen to it this week.
But anyway, so that's where we are right now. That's Parshas Shir for Parshas Vayera. There might be an addendum. Stay tuned for a possible addendum for the other sources. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.